When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
March 23rd is National Puppy Day, and it's a perfect time to talk to someone who knows this subject like nobody else. Tom Davis is an educator, a rescue advocate, and an expert in everything when it comes to our best furry friends. He's even trained celebrity dogs, including Super Bowl superstar quarterback Patrick Mahomes. But regardless of whether you're a champion football player, Tom is someone who's always going to want to come to the rescue of our best pets and making their lives even better. Please welcome the host of No Bad Dogs podcast, Tom Davis, to the Janice Dean podcast. Tom Davis, March 23rd is National Puppy Day. So we thought it would be a great idea to have you on. You are a dog trainer to the stars, including Super Bowl winner Patrick Mahomes. You're an educator, a rescue advocate, and overall expert in the dog space. So, Tom, thank you for being here. And how did you get, I mean, we all love our dogs, but when did your love of dogs start?
Pretty early on. I think it's been since I can remember. There wasn't a turning point in my life where I said, you know what, I like dogs today, or I'm starting to like dogs. I've always just really enjoyed dogs ever since I could remember when I was little.
You obviously had dogs growing up?
We did. Yeah. We had small dogs growing up. And they were always part of my life. It was just kind of a second nature thing. You come home from school and the dogs were there, and it was just a big part of my day.
Now, how does one become a dog trainer to the stars?
Well, I think that's the million-dollar question. I think for me, it's about, you know, putting yourself out there. So social media is really important. So it doesn't matter what you're doing in life. If you're the best at what you do and you can change millions of people's lives, if nobody knows about you, then you're kind of, not doing a favor to anybody. So I think, you know, just putting yourself out there and letting people know your talent and what you can do. And so that was really it for me, as I just started social media, started really helping dogs that nobody else could or people would give up on, kind of made my name a name for myself in that area of behavioral work. And then, you know, your name travels. And that's what happened, is my name just traveled to the grapevine from here to LA to everywhere else. And so, yeah, that would be it.
So what do you do? Do you travel to meet the dog, and how does that work?
Yes, both. I do a lot of different things. So I do seminars as well, and we'll go to different countries and put on a seminar for all the people that are having problems with their dogs in different countries. But as far as private clients go, they'll reach out and say, hey, I have a, or their assistant or manager or whatever, they'll say, hey, we have a problem with this dog, or we want to have better obedience with this dog, or we just want a well-behaved dog and get to know our dog better. And that's really what I do, is I help people understand their dogs at a deeper level, as well as knock off all the behavioral problems that they see. And we'll fly to them, set up camp for two days to a week, and get to work.
So typically it takes maybe a week for you to change the behavior of a dog?
No, it usually takes about an hour.
What?
Yeah, it's usually the owners that need the majority of training, because when a dog, like kids, right, you get an out of control kid, you get, you know, whatever. It's about like, what's the parenting like? Like, what are you, how are you guys structuring your day? Everything from nutrition to structure to exercise. So those are the things that I look at. So the behavioral part, I come in, it's like, oh man, you made that look so easy. And it's like, you know, what you guys do for a living, you make this look really easy because it's what you do, right? It's what your passion is. It's what you're good at. So when I go in and work with dogs, it takes me sometimes minutes to say, okay, this is, and the owners are shocked. And then it's like, okay, let me show you why these things are happening and how to reroute things.
Give me an example of that.
Well, a lot of what I do, I specialize in behavior. So there's dog training to the general persons, right, would be what you would maybe think about, like a, you know, maybe somebody doing obedience at a 4-H club part-time as a hobby, right? That's what dog training is to some people, right? Or maybe a PetSmart trainer, and they're the cashier, and they're the people who clean the bathroom. They're all the same person. And dog training has a really, really big, like a chef. It's like, hey, I'm a chef. Okay. Are you flipping burgers down the road, or are you at a Michelin star restaurant? I mean, what's the granule part to that? So dog training is a huge umbrella. And so I specialize in behavior. And so when I go in to work with a dog, let's say they're reactive, this is a typical case. A dog is reactive, which means they're barking on the leash. They're maybe lunging at other people. They're lunging at other dogs. They can't have people over because the dog is out of control. So when I go in, to stop the lunging and the barking literally takes minutes. That's not that hard to do. But these are symptoms of a problem, right? So if you go to the doctor and you have a runny nose, or maybe you have a cough, those are symptoms of something else. So my objective and goal is to try to figure out why these things happened in the first place. So then I sit back for a couple of days and kind of audit the relationship between the dog and the owner. And things like this, I'll tell you, like people always ask me, well, what does that look like? That means talking to your dog too much, not having good obedience, right? So obedience is your communication skills. So again, it's not just sit, heel down, roll over, play dead. Obedience is your ability to communicate with your dog. So if somebody calls me and says, hey, Tom, my dog's pulling on a leash, and I say, how's your heel command? They say, well, what's that? I kind of, you know, throw it to the side. I'm like, your dog's an animal and they have four legs and you have two. There's no way you're going to be able to get this animal to walk in slow motion without practice and without a behavior. So that's kind of the process of that, is I go in and I really audit why this, because a lot of times dogs get to a behavioral problematic place predicated off of their owner's lack thereof things, right? So that's what I do, is I reroute things and say, hey, your dog is a mess because of you, honestly. Mm. And then I have to go in and, you know, redo all that. It's kind of like you see the organizers on TV, right? They call up the professional and they say, I'm a mess over here. I don't. And then they come in and they straighten everything out and get you organized. Mm-hmm. It's kind of what I do.
Wow. What are some of the success stories?
Well, a lot, really. I mean, so at my I have a facility in upstate New York in the Clifton Park area called the Upstate Canine Academy. And we take dogs in from all over the world. Even this just last week, we have dogs from three different states in Canada, so a different country. And they all come in, like, you know, for an example, this Doberman came in this last weekend. It was one of the most reactive dogs I've ever seen. So the dog has a bite history. He has bitten the owner not as many times as Biden's dog's bitten somebody, but he's been the owner a couple good times, and, you know, maybe three or four times, mm-hmm. but it's a redirective bite. And so in the dog space, when a dog bites somebody, there's, like anything else, there's gotta be the type of bite, right? So it's not just a bite. When somebody says, oh, a dog bit me, is it a puppy bite? Mm-hmm. Is it a nip? Is it a correction? Is it a mauling? So this dog was redirective. So when she would get so frustrated because she saw another dog, she would turn around and try to bite the owner because her frustration was so intense, kind of like a steam kettle, mm-hmm. that she would turn around and nail the owner. Now, so again, it wasn't malicious towards the owner. It wasn't personal towards the owner. The dog wasn't trying to bite and hurt her owner. It was more about the amount of frustration that the dog had was outletted on the owner's leg, unfortunately. Mm. So we had a muzzle on, and the dog was, and I mean screaming at the top of her lungs, like you've never heard a dog scream. It was one of the worst cases I've ever seen, to be honest with you. And so I was really scratching my head, and I have a production crew. So we have cameras around. I have shadow students. It's a whole thing, right? There's all these people watching. It's a thing. So I'm like scratching my head, like, this is a tough one. So what I ended up doing is realizing that the dog, I said, what's going on with this dog? This is not normal, right? I put my hands on thousands of dogs of years for over a decade. I've seen a lot of stuff. Mm-hmm. I'm like, what is going on here? So I said, so we started realizing that the dog actually had like a false pregnancy. So she was taken off the streets from a bad situation, maybe abandonment or abuse. I'm not 100% sure. And then she had a false pregnancy, which basically means a female dog thinks that she's pregnant. She's not.
Okay.
And in some cases feels like they've had puppies, but they don't. It's a weird thing.
Okay.
And to be honest, I'm not exactly sure how all that works, but it is a thing. And so we started realizing, we thought that maybe she was so reactive and fearful because of that. Like, she doesn't trust dogs anymore, because her reaction was really primarily towards dogs, which was, I mean, severe. You couldn't even talk. This dog was screaming and thrashing and trying to bite you. It was a mess. So we started doing some other types of training where we would bring the dog in a little bit and bring the dog out, bring the dog in a little bit, bring the dog out, and really focusing on obedience control, kind of like getting into a cold plunge. You're not, you know, if you're not used to it, you're not probably going to feel comfortable jumping right in. You got to do a little bit at a time. Mm-hmm. And slowly but surely, Thursday we came in, we consulted, we started to work. And on Saturday, that dog was in group class with 10 other dogs walking calmly without a muzzle.
Oh my.
It was, yeah, it was pretty incredible. I mean, there was a lot of blood, sweat, and tears went into it, but you know, that's the reality of what I do too, is I only have 2 days to work with dogs. I'm not a traditional type of training because I have such high demand of things, and I have all these different things that I do mm-hmm. in the dog space, not just training, content creation, podcasting, et cetera, that I only have 2.5 days and I got to get it done. Mm-hmm. And so that was kind of like one of those buzzer beater type things. I honestly told them, they came from Canada, so they drove pretty far. And I said, I don't think we're going to be able to get this dog around other dogs. And sure enough, we figured things out and we toggled and got creative. And I believe dog training is art, because of the gift that I have is not something that was taught by a schooling system. I have this gift. I've had it my whole life. I'm able to just look at a dog and go, okay, here's what we need to do. And boom, we're in it.
Wow. And so then you send the dog back with the owners, and do you hear from them? Do they say the dog is doing okay?
Sometimes we do. Sometimes we do. Sometimes we don't. Typically, honestly, this dog we probably will hear from, yes, because it was so severe. But typically, dog owners go home with such a severe change for the better in their relationship that by the time they leave, we've kind of like really buried everything, in a sense of like they feel good. They're doing everything that they wanted to do with their dog, you know, walking loose leash, walking around other dogs. And sometimes the dogs are aggressive, so they're not biting people. They're not trying to bite people. So a lot of times they leave the facility very fulfilled, and it's water under the bridge at that point. But with this dog, because it was so severe, I'm sure we'll hear from them.
Oh, man. What a beautiful story, though. I really hope that the dog is okay and he or she's doing well. And we'll be back with more of the Janice Dean podcast right after this.
I'm Guy Benson. Join me weekdays at 3 p.m. Eastern as we break down the biggest stories of the day with some of the biggest newsmakers and guests. Listen live on the Fox News app or get the free podcast at GuyBensonShow.com.
Now, we mentioned Joe Biden's dog Commander, who has been in the news recently, and has bitten at least 24 Secret Service personnel. What would you say to President Biden when it comes to his dog Commander?
Well, I have a trademark called No Bad Dogs. And I would say with any dog, and it doesn't matter who's in the White House, it's about putting the dog in a successful situation, putting the people around you that are supposed to be, you know, doing their job in a successful and fair, and in this case, work environment. Because from my understanding, from when I talked about this in the past about him biting service members, it was like Secret Service, it was lawn people, you know, landscapers, chefs. It was like the laundry list of this dog. So that tells you, in Washington, D.C., I'm sure that they have rules and regulations of dog bites, because they do in every county and every state. So, you know, that's not applicable to him, which is kind of discouraging, but whatever. And it just goes to show that it's just irresponsible. It's negligent. I have an animal, regardless of the breed, that is going around and hurting people. And if it happens once, okay, now we know what we need to do. We need to patch the holes. We need to get buckled down here. We need to hire a trainer. We need to get things figured out. Second person, really off the charts of like, okay, what's going on here? You know, reanalyze, try to patch up again. But third, fourth, fifth, up to 20.
Yeah.
That's just it's just negligence. I mean, it's, I mean, think about it. If any person makes 25 mistakes to a point where somebody else is getting hurt and being put into the hospital, that's unheard of.
Yeah.
I mean, even if you just cut it in half, say it's 10 people. Oh yeah, somebody in the kitchen just keeps throwing hot grease on people and he's still there. He or she's still there. It's like,
yeah,
that just wouldn't happen. It just wouldn't happen anywhere else. And it's sad to me because, like I said, that's a dog that after the first bite could have been taken care of, a sense of training, management. Okay. You know, not every dog needs to like everybody. That's not realistic. Just like we don't like everybody, right? But the reality is somebody needs to step up and say, hey, we need to protect our staff. We need to also make sure that the dog is successful here. So
what do you think? I mean, if he called you up and said, hey, Tom, I got a dog, I need some help. I mean, could you correct that kind of behavior? What would the steps be?
You know, I've worked with politicians in the past. Okay, so I've been in governor mansions. I've been in situations where I understand the process of like, hey, there's a lot of chefs in the kitchen, you know, figuratively speaking. I mean, it's like there's a lot going on, and I get that, right? Even in my house, I got a puppy, I got a baby, I got things. You know, everyone has things going on, and things happen. But in this situation, you know, it's the answer would be rehoming the dog because. Yeah. If training was, I know Commander left a couple months ago, and I don't know if it's been reported on where he went or how he's doing, but if somebody has a dog that is putting their teeth on 25 plus people, obviously that person is not willing, able, or capable of controlling that. It's dangerous. It's like a loaded gun. It's dangerous. There we are just firing it off at the White House, like no big deal. And so it's not even a question of training at this point. It's a matter of rehoming the dog to hopefully maybe set it up for success. Obviously get a behavioral assessment from somebody like my, and I've offered, and you know, the president's busy, right? But I've offered plenty of times. I'd love to assess this dog and see what's going on, because that's the million-dollar question. Everybody in America is like, is it the dog or is it Biden? And it's like, nobody knows, because that's the thing, is nobody's getting information about what's going on, which is part of it.
It bothers me. You know, like I see all the news about everybody and everything going on, but when it comes to a story about a dog that, you know, you worry about the people around it. But man, I mean, I don't know why it's not a bigger story, to be quite honest with you. I mean, we especially with, you know, organizations like PETA out there. Anyway, I'm glad. Thank you for answering the question open and honestly. And I hear it in your voice. I mean, I'm upset too. You know, let's make sure Commander is okay. And let's make sure the people around the president are okay as well. You know, so listen, if I had a direct line to the White House, I would definitely say they need to contact you, Tom. But okay, so National Puppy Day, what advice do you give to people who want to adopt a dog or, you know, get a new puppy in their home? We have a new, well, not a new dog. We've had her for 2 years. This is our first family dog. And, you know, we did our research. We have a friend that has the same type of breed. So we kind of knew, you know, what the mannerisms were going to be. We talked to, you know, many different breeders that would help us. I mean, we went down that route of a purebred dog, but we were, you know, we were considering going to a shelter. The only problem is my family is very allergic to dogs. So we needed a hypoallergenic dog, and a real one, like a one that has been bred and is specifically hypoallergenic. So without getting into huge details, we did our homework. We knew a friend that had this kind of dog, and she is the love of our life. Tom, when I tell you, I never in a million years thought that I would love a dog as much as my, you know, my own sons. In, you know, in some ways, you know, we're more attentive to the dog than we were our kids at one point. But, you know, I digress. She is just the love of our life, and I can't imagine our lives without her. But it was work. It was a lot of work. And there were times where I was like, is this a good match for us, you know, because there was a lot of training. There was a lot of, you know, nights that we were up when she had to go to the bathroom. You know, it is like having a baby in some ways. But, you know, for those people who are deciding about a dog, what kind of steps do you recommend?
Well, that's a good question. Very applicable question, because I just got a puppy myself. He's 10 weeks old and we're going through it.
Yeah.
So I always tell people, look, if you're looking just for a dog to get a dog and you just want a companion to go on a hike and go to a run with, go to a shelter. There's millions of dogs that need homes. But there's also, for whatever reason, and I advocate, listen, I volunteer a lot of my time at shelters. The majority of my clients are shelter dogs. I mean, it's a huge part of my life, but there's absolutely nothing wrong with going to an ethical breeder that can give you a dog that you know that the genetics are going to be exactly what you want, especially for your home. You know, I have a young kid running around. We're going to have more in the future. I want to make sure that the elbows are good. I want to make sure that the heart is good. I want to make sure that mom and dad and grandma and grandpa were all good around kids. I mean, there's something to it, but without to dive into that too much, I think that that's a big misunderstanding of, yes, adopt, don't shop. If you're not looking for something very particular and very, particular is a good word. So, go to a shelter, but then regardless, if you get, a doodle or a shepherd, or you get a mixed breed from the shelter, you know, they're going to be good dogs and they're going to be pretty much trained and raised the same. And I think it's important to, you know, like you said, oh, it's kind of like a baby, but I would argue that babies are a lot easier because they have diapers. And so
good point.
Puppies don't, you know, they go right on your floor and you have to clean. And our shampooer has been out quite a bit this week, I can tell you that much. And so, I think just making, like, look, if you go to the shelter, you have a mixed array of, like, you can get an older dog that's potty trained. You can get a puppy, you can get a, you know, so there's an advantage there. But if you're going to get a dog, you just want to make sure that you're starting off with structure. You're starting off with leadership and guidance. You know, we live in a world now in the dog space that there's this idea that dogs don't need discipline. Dogs don't need structure. They can do what they want. Never tell them no. Don't, you know, if they're sad, pick them up. If they don't want to go on a walk, go back home. And it's ruining a lot of dogs, a lot of relationships. And I can say that confidently, objectively, because my job is to sit back and help dogs with their people and people with their dogs. And I can tell you the number one reason why behavioral problems exist with dogs is because of the things I just listed. So it's important to don't wait. A lot of people wait. My puppy, again, we got him at 8 weeks from Texas and he started training the day we picked him up. So a lot of people will wait for there to be a problem. And I would suggest to be proactive instead of reactive. Don't wait. You know, it's just like going to the doctor. Don't wait for something to be wrong. Make sure you know what's going on before things happen. And yeah, just understand that dogs, like kids, need a lot of time. So maybe taking a couple of days off of work when you bring your new dog home to acclimate, to start the process of potty training, if that's applicable. And like you said, I mean, this morning I was up at 3 a.m. I was up at 6 a.m. Yeah. I was back up at 8. I, you know, it's funny. My wife and I were like, puppy training is much harder than kids because, you know, kids just, they go in their diapers and dogs don't. So
yeah.
So just, that's the other thing, is a lot of people get puppies and they don't have the time for them. And that's the Achilles heel, is you need time to develop. The first couple months with your puppies, like kids, is crucial. Teaching them who you are and what life is supposed to be like. And I think people just have this naive idea that because we had a well-behaved dog when we were growing up, or a neighbor's dog, I mean, not every dog's created the same. Sometimes we get a unicorn dog and things work out, but oftentimes it's work. So just making sure you have the right time. Also, going into training before there's a problem. I'm actually filming and documenting my training process with my puppy to put on YouTube for free to people. And I think that's going to be probably the most digestible, in-depth puppy training video series on YouTube, because I'm in my, I mean, listen, last night I was in my pajamas and my moccasins out in the cold, letting my puppy out going potty. Cause I was like, hey guys, this is what it's really like.
Yep.
It's not just cute pictures on Instagram. It's a lot of work.
I'm glad you're doing that. So how do you do it? Do you film it yourself? You do it on an iPhone or?
Both. Both. So I have a videographer that we work with full time with. And so I'll film at the house with my phone or, you know, with a tripod, and then she'll come over and we'll film in between days. And so we really are trying to make it, because he grows up so literally so fast.
Yes.
And so I haven't had a puppy in 8 years because I travel so much to work with dogs. And I'm like, it's time, you know, I want my son to grow up with the puppy. And so, yeah, it's a process, but we're documenting the whole process for people, because there's a lot of like fake things out there on YouTube of like, hey, this is how to train a puppy, but it's a set and it's not realistic, and people are watching it and they're frustrated at home and they think they have a problem, but the reality is the information wasn't really applicable. So like I said, I'm out there filming in my pajamas at 3 a.m. and, you know, it's really the whole process. There's really not a lot of filters that the content's going to go through.
I love that idea. I really do. I think more people need to have access to that, you know, especially those who are trying or thinking about adopting a dog or bringing a puppy into their lives. So thank you for doing that. When do you think that might be out?
We're already starting it. So each week we're filming. So we already put the first puppy video out of like the first 24 hours with my puppy. And then we're just going to do potty training, we're going to do puppy biting, we're going to be doing obedience training, we're going to be doing crate training. So all the things that people need to start off on the right foot. And the cool thing is once this dog is actually 6 months old and fully trained off leash and listens to 3 different languages, people are going to say in the future, hey, that's amazing. How'd you get your dog to do that? And they can go back on my YouTube and see every single step of the way that got that dog to that point for free, which is huge.
That's fantastic. So how do people find you?
On YouTube is the best place to find like my dog training content. It's just Tom Davis Dog Training. Super easy. It's my name. Instagram is Tom Davis, my name. And those are the two big places that I'm producing content for free for people, because it's easy for me, right? Like it's like breathing to me. Working with dogs and figuring them out is so easy. So we're documenting the process. And if it helps, amazing. Take it. I hope it does. And if it doesn't, move on and find somebody else that does. And that's kind of like our motto. It's, you know, dog training isn't a book, you know, it's not written in stone. Nobody knows for sure what's going on. We're all just trying to make the best of it. But there's certain people out there that really make changes and make sense. And I hope that I could be one of those people.
Excellent. Excellent stuff, Tom. Thank you for being on the program today. I hope we can keep in touch too, because obviously this is a subject near and dear to my heart, because we have a dog and we think it's the best thing in the world. You know, for people who are looking for dogs, and, you know, especially, you know, the pandemic, a lot of people adopted dogs or brought dogs into their homes. And then after the pandemic, they realize, oh my gosh, I got to get back to work. So there are a lot of dogs out there that need good homes. So, mm-hmm. You know, I'm really grateful that's near and dear to your heart too.
Yeah. Yeah. No problem. Thank you for having me on anytime. I really enjoy doing this. It's my passion. This is why I'm here on earth. I get goosebumps when I work with dogs. So I'm going to be doing this forever. And so if you guys ever want to chat about dogs, just let me know.
Thank you so much to Tom for sharing your wisdom and expertise when it comes to our wonderful dogs. If you want to hear more about Tom and his training, I highly recommend visiting his website. That's at www.upstatecanine.com. And I just checked out his YouTube channel with videos of him and his puppy, which is just adorable. You can head to @TomDavisOfficial on YouTube. And don't forget, March 23rd is National Puppy Day. And I think we can all celebrate our sweet dogs who are still our puppies, no matter how young or old they are. Thank you to all of my listeners. If you have someone you think should make the Dean's List, let me know at Janice Dean on Twitter or Janice Dean FNC on Instagram. Or you can rate this podcast. Please subscribe, rate, and review to this podcast on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or at foxnewspodcast.com. Listen ad-free with a Fox News Podcast Plus subscription on Apple Podcasts. And Amazon Prime members can listen to this show ad-free on the Amazon Music app. And don't forget to spread the sunshine.
From the Fox News Podcasts Network.
Hey there, it's me, Kennedy. Make sure to check out my podcast, Kennedy Saves the World. It is 5 days a week, every week. Download and listen at foxnewspodcast.com or wherever you listen to your favorite podcast.